Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've got one word to say to you.
Look at me.
G'day. I'm Rady Walden and welcome to Look at Me, the podcast. Join me and a myriad of special acquaintances as we celebrate the hilarious Kath and Kim. Unofficially, of course. It's going to be...
Yeah, it's nice, different, unusual.
That's right. Let's get into it. Well, good things come in threes. And this is our third episode, so it must be good, right? Joining me later to talk about the show's cultural impact is international drag sensation and Australia's finest Kath Day Knight impersonator, Art Simone. But right now, here's Gabby Bolt with her Season 3 musical recap. Take it away, Gabby.
It's the Kath and Kim Season 3 musical recap.
Gary Poole hasn't signed the divorce papers. Kath and Kim go and get drunk at the races. Kath vomits all over Rachel Griffith. Meanwhile, Kel takes his meat on a meet and greet trip. Get it? Kel and Kath star in The Hours, the musical directed by the intense and frankly demanding Robin Robinson. Oh yeah, and Kim goes on an all-cabbage diet. Kim gives Sharon a major makeover sitch. She also gets a fully sick job as a door bitch. And Kel turns 50, goes a bit rogue. And Ebony Ray gets married, played by Kylie Minogue.
And that was another great musical recap by Gabby Bolt.
Yes, I agree. It was just so good. It was the best recap I've ever heard in my life. How do you do that?
And that voice is the fabulous Art Simone. G'day.
G'day, how you doing?
God, that was seamless. We could be Kyle and Jackie O.
I know. Who would even think that we're not in the same space together?
Or that you couldn't actually hear that musical recap.
No, I definitely could hear it. It was so beautiful. It was just like little kisses on my ears. Little kissy, kissy, kissies. I was
kissies. Yeah. She's so talented. I'm very envious of her skills. Anyway, thanks for coming on Look at Me.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome for being on here. How did you become a Kath and Kim fan? How did Art come to Kath and Kim?
I can't really pinpoint it as a particular time or moment. It's just been so ingrained in my pop culture, the pop culture of my life, the pop culture of my family, the people around me, that I actually think my grandparents showed Kath and Kim to me because that was when it was on the ABC, I believe. And my gran used to watch it. And I think that's how I first started seeing it. But then it was just bloody everywhere. So, yeah. I mean, I always was really drawn to it because it was like, to a degree, looking in a mirror of my own like family life and the people I knew and met and lived around. So I think it was like instantly relatable. And that's why I loved it.
You grew up in regional Victoria, didn't you? So it is pretty much you.
Yeah, look, it's very on brand. But, you know, upper middle class, you know, we didn't have a spa, but we had two stories, so it just felt...
Oh.
Well, it was a townhouse.
You always knew that someone was a rich kid if they had stairs in their house.
Yeah, but it was a townhouse, so we were also semi-detached to someone else, but it was still very exciting. Everyone thinks a two-story house is all, like... elegant, but no air conditioning upstairs. So when it's summer, awful. Oh, you don't want to live upstairs. That's where my bedroom was. Awful.
Absolutely awful. You got the windows open every summer night with being eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gosh. I think that season 3 is possibly my favorite season because I think in the franchise, maybe not so much now, but when it played out in, you know, on TV, it for the first time felt super current. It sort of felt like very relevant and current that the other two seasons don't.
I think for season 3, obviously, The best episode is when they go to the races. Like, that is just, like...
An iconic moment.
Oh, my goodness. You've got Carrot in your fascinator is just, like, just... it's just the best thing. Like, the shots of them spewing in the portaloos is just so funny. Or I think, because I grew up in Melbourne, even just seeing them on our trains, like, they're on... I think it was Connex at the time is what the company was on the Connex trains, because you can instantly recognise the seats they're on and they're having little bubbly on the trains. I think that episode is just... It's very Melbourne as well. So I think it was even more close to home. Like I was saying earlier, you know, I could relate to it. Like, we all know the Melbourne Cup. Also, that random episode where they do the ad for the, like, adult
diapers. Yeah. The incontinence. Gosh. I've been like, how many times have you walked into a branded thing not knowing and then being like, oh my God, why did it cut together like that? It's so true.
And being like dubbed at the end. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the fact that like season three has, there's the races, Kel's 50th birthday, which I think is like.
Oh, the cabbage diet. That's in there too.
Yeah. I think I say this every week where I'm like, this is my favorite, or like, this is the best moment. And it's just me every week saying that something else is my favorite. But yeah. I think that just goes to show how much.
I think we have the makeover this season as well. Is this when Sharon gets her makeover?
Yeah, partway by Kim, and then Kath tries to finish it, then Kim refinishes it for her date with Alan Bro, the theatre sister from at the hospital, which I like. That is one of my favourite cameos ever.
Yeah, there's quite a few cameos in this season. Like, even when they go to the Melbourne Cup, there's quite a few little...
Rachel Griffin.
Yeah, yeah. Is that when she's like, I love your brooch, and it's like she's like spewed up on her top?
Yeah, you just spat that on me. I think that is still impressive, right? Imagine getting Rachel Griffith on your show.
They did really well. Were they still with like ABC at that point, or had they switched over to Channel 7?
They had way more money at that stage. I got carried away with rewatching it, and then I got to Kel's birthday and just seeing Kim on the back of that bucking bronco.
That's the one where the iconic line of Kath being like, I look around the room. Is that one? Which, like, I look around the room today and I see people that I barely know. And I just think that's great.
Yeah. And I use that line in my life almost weekly. I think a lot of your humor is very Kath and Kim. Do you think it, like, is your own personal sense of humor, or you consciously made it part of art?
No, it was never a conscious decision. People just started to tell me that I was very similar to that style of humor.
Which is a compliment.
Which it was. So I think then I was able to like really lean into it and have fun with it. But I also feel like I love Kath and Kim so much because it's really just a whole bunch of dad jokes. There's so many dad jokes. And that is my fun spot for humor and absolute silliness. You know, that's where I sit comfortably in my own personal life, but also as a performer. It's just silly. The mispronunciation of everything is just so fun. And you can really make people like sit and giggle. Like, my favorite thing that I've always said is like, all right, I'm going to go back to the stage. And people will just sit on that and be like, because it takes them a second, and then they'll just start laughing. And I've been speaking for another 3 minutes, like, haha, stage, you meant stage, aren't you silly? I don't know. I just really, it really sits well with me. I love it.
Do you think there's maybe also like some level of nostalgia that, like, you know, you're off your tits at a nightclub and then there's a queen that's sort of like speaking like Kath and Kim, and it sort of almost feels familiar? Or
I think it almost like unlocks a memory for people, and like whether they realize it or recognize it, they can instantly relate to it. And it's very nostalgic, and it is like a great through line that unites people.
I think, you know, that something has become a part of the fabric of society or has reached cult status when it's taken up on Drag Race. And I think that Kath and Kim might be the only TV show to ever be referenced on Drag Race twice.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny because when I did it, they hadn't aired UK season 2. So I didn't know that anyone else had done it. So I went in there being like, all right, well, this has to be done. I have to do it. But then I was so surprised when I came out and they started airing season 2 of UK. I was like, oh my God, great. That being said, I wish Miss RuPaul pretended she knew it a little bit better. But I was like, come on, you just saw someone do this in Snatch Game. Why are you being confused when I'm being that on the main stage? Poor Michelle had to be like, oh, I love Kath and Kim. And then Ru's like, oh, yes, me too.
Why didn't you do it on Snatch Game?
I mean, a lot of different reasons. One was because I was too worried it was too similar just to how I act normally. And I was worried they'd be like, you know, you just played yourself, which could have been a really big cross against me. But the other reason too is because I knew I had the runway planned with referencing Kath, that if I did it in Snatch Game, I would have had to like change that runway and that would have been a big hoo-ha. So it was a few different things, but, you know, I'm glad it kind of played out the way it did.
Yeah. I think the runway representation of Kath possibly trumps Tace's performance for me. I think like as a Brit, she didn't quite, I don't know, maybe I'm a Kath and Kim purist, but you're...
I mean, the whole thing sat wrong with me. It was just like so weird and so not right. But I mean, people seem to enjoy it, but yeah. Yeah, I really wanted to be able, because, you know, in Snatch Game, you can only impersonate someone from the tits up. But I knew that if I got to go on the runway, I could dance like an idiot. I could pull as many faces as I wanted to. I could do a costume reveal and really lean into it that way. So, yeah.
What was it again? Australian Sheilas or something?
Finest Sheila in the bush was the theme that we were given.
There's no finer Sheila than Kath, is there?
Yeah, literally. That's the first thing that came to me. And I was like, okay, great. So then I went straight to like referencing when they go to Melbourne Airport for their holiday and they come out with all their Aussie garb with their Cooper and Dreiser bone and awful speed dealer sunglasses, and then had to reveal to like classic Kath and do a little jig on the stage. But my 12-inch fly, I had to have that as well. There's a lot of details we had to put in.
Oh, my God. Did you get them all accurate?
Yeah, and I had my parrot earrings. It was really fun, and I'm glad we got to do it, because everyone was cacking. Like the whole lead up to me doing it, I think that week we were doing a infomercial challenge, and we all got put in this like holding room as they like filmed each person's infomercial, and we were in there for hours. So I was just, you know, because you're not allowed to talk to people on Drag Race when the cameras aren't rolling, put on ice. So I just spent the entire day dancing around like Kath being a bloody nong. I was just making everybody laugh, and they all hated me by the end of the day. All the production crew hated me because everyone just kept laughing, being like, what are you doing? Because I was like full dancing. I was practicing everything. Oh my God, what a crazy time. But anyway, worked out well.
It wasn't the episode you got kicked out on, was it?
No.
Oh, thank God. I was just trying to remember, and I was like, God, if I've just put salt on the wound again.
No, that's that whole Kath episode is a very happy memory for me. You know, it's also like marred a little bit because I did that runway. We had such a global viewership for the show that I had so many international people being like, what the hell? You look so bad. You have this ugly curly wig on, this awful jumper. What does it even mean? That's not the finest Sheila. That's not like a beautiful person, blah, blah, blah. Fully just like over their head. No idea whatsoever. But I was getting so much hate, so much. But then that kind of comes back down to, you know, why I made the decisions I did. Is like, I'm so proud of our like weird Australian pop culture that I didn't go on that show to like do an Americanized version of a drag queen that was like doing references that the whole world would know. I was like, this is our first chance to like educate the world on like some of our crazy niche references. One thing I've enjoyed about watching international seasons has been.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Learning these things, because I'd watch stuff and be like, I don't know what they're referencing, but I'd later find out. But then full circle, I just got back from DragCon and I had so many people come up to me being like, I'd never heard of Kath and Kim until you did on the show, and I'm obsessed with it now. We watch it all the time. We love it. Like, so I was getting so much of that. So I'm grateful, you know, I got to do it, and I chose to do a bit of impersonation.
There is that weird, like, American thing where it's like there have been cases on Drag Race where someone's done a reference or a Snatch Game character of some random American psychic or someone, and there's that expectation that international audiences will just, like, figure it out.
Exactly.
But then when it's Australian things, no one bothers to, you know, do the research.
They don't put in the work, you know? They don't put in the work.
You said our crazy pop culture. Do you think it's weird? Do you think Kath and Kim's weird and crazy? Have I just been watching it so much that I just think it's normal now?
I mean, it's normal to us, but it's kind of like, although it's normal to us, it is a bit odd. I think it's weird, but it's a good way to celebrate it. Because, I mean, I guess it's the same reason why Kath and Kim, the American version, never worked.
Oh, my God. I feel like we need a whole nother episode. Maybe we'll just rewatch the series together.
Yeah, I think that's another reason why it just never translated across, because it is so weird and it is our sense of humor. But I guess also it's, I don't know, because I watch so many like American shows where it's all about just everyday families and the, you know.
Just everyday families.
Everyday families. I love it. But I guess it's just them being like, nah, not interested. Don't get it. Nah.
Yeah. I feel like you can't go on TikTok or Instagram without seeing like a Kath and Kim meme or like someone taking a scene and like recontextualizing it or someone lip syncing to the scenes on TikTok or even I feel like a lot of like young upcoming comedians, especially on social media, are just doing the Kath and Kim like voice and that's their form of humor, which I think is like really lovely. But what do you think it is about Kath and Kim that we still think is the height of comedy 20 years on?
I just think it's just so, I don't know if it says more about us in that we haven't progressed much as like a society, because it is still so relatable. Every single situation still happens, or, you know, the only thing that's changed is some technology or some references, but it is still how we act. It's still our humor. It's still all of it. We all know these people. We've met these people. It's like taking a mirror and looking back on ourselves and being like, yeah, we're a bit messed up. We're all a bit silly. Maybe that just says more about us as a society that we haven't really progressed.
Still just a bit dumb, laughing at the same jokes. I mean, I definitely am. I'm still laughing at them.
I am too. Like, I love to chuck Kath and Kim on in the background and just, like, not watch it but listen to it. And every now and then I still pick up little, like, double entendres they put in or little word plays that I've never noticed because I've been watching and looking at what's happening. And it is just so funny. It's so stupid. Funny. I wish I could have been in like the writing room with them while they were sitting there. Were they cacking themselves too as they're like writing all this stuff, or were they being theater people?
I reckon it would have been an absolute riot. Like, you watch any of those bloopers and they're like, they're not making it through any of those scenes. I reckon it's probably the TV show that's had like the most amount of overtime.
Yeah.
Penalties in the history. Like, there's no way they're getting out on a 10-hour
That's
day.
True. Like, I remember watching some of the bloopers and you could even hear, like, the director in the background being like, come on.
Yeah, just get through it. Fuck. This is such a niche reference, but one of my favorite bloopers, like, this is when you know you're psychotic about a TV show, when you've got a favorite blooper. But there's that Kim and Sharon.
Yeah, in the bedroom.
And she's going, bottle of water? Yeah. All over a bottle of water. Like, I have no idea what they're doing, but my family and I say it all the time.
I think there's another one where it's like Sharon on the bed. I think it's with Kath. And like, you watch the bloopers and then Kath's like, I've done my line, I have to go. And then they keep trying to work with Sharon and it's just not happening.
She's just delivering the lines to an empty room. Yeah. Bless. I think the only thing that has changed in the last 20 years, obviously, you know, it's now been added to Netflix and everyone sort of rediscovered it or re-fell in love with it on Netflix. I think the only thing that's really changed is that now there's more merch.
That's true. It
and
is.
And it's all bootleg merch.
Oh, my God. Go on Etsy. You've got everything ready to go.
Yeah. Back in the day, I don't know if you had them, but all you could get was the paper doll fridge magnets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have them?
Yeah, you could get the magnets. Yeah, well, you used to have to buy the stuff from the ABC shop. They used to stock all of it.
And it was fucking expensive.
Oh, awful, awful. Yeah, that was like literally it. But I don't know. There needs to be someone working in Kath and Kim land who should have like, even their like Instagram is not even being used.
Don't dish them.
No, but I'm like, come on, I want real official stuff. I want to support you. Come on, give me a real official t-shirt with a holographic sticker so I know it's real. I can show people and be like, hello.
A Ridgy Didge one.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you have? I had the fridge magnets and I remember getting once from my mum a Kel purveyor of fine meats apron.
We just had the fridge magnets at home and the VHS. We had VHS like of one of the seasons. I don't know where that is now. I have upgraded to the DVDs, which I paid for, and then Netflix came out and bought it all. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I won't be using these again.
Well, I think they'll be worth something in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, they'll be worth something as like coasters maybe, but I don't
Do you have any bootleg merch?
People buy a lot of it for me. So I've got like car air fresheners. People have given me like random earrings. Oh, my sister for Christmas got me this like awful blanket with like a cut out picture of Kath like sitting on a lawn chair, just printed all over it. And it is the most bootleg pixelated thing in the world. But I just love it. It's so like rank. Yeah, I think that's all we've got around here. I don't know. I've been given a lot of things, even just like with stuff written on it. Mm. But my favorite thing too is people come to shows and they'll have like, look at my earrings or this. And they'll be like, look, look. And I'm like, yes,
I get it.
Oh, so happy for you. Good on you. Oh, did you keep the receipt?
I feel like you're probably the closest thing we have to Kath and Kim.
I'll tell you what, I'll take that graciously.
Well, people are coming up to you wearing Kath and Kim merch, expecting something from you in return. The weirdest thing I've got, and I think you know that you've reached like the height of pop culture stupidity when you've got merch that exists in the horticultural space, but it's a plant tag that my sister bought, like a little plant steak that my sister bought me that's Kath sitting on a lawn chair having a durry. Like there's no need for it, but it's a treasured gift.
But there is like this big community that are obsessed with it. Like, are you part of the Kath and Kim Facebook group?
Oh, of course I am.
Yeah. I didn't realize how big that was. And then for years, I've been doing like a Kath and Kim show with a drag queen called Jemima Handful. Yeah, she plays Kim, but she's definitely more of a Sharon, but she does it with Kim. And I remember one day someone tagging me in the Facebook group. And then it was like a video of us that someone else had filmed at like one of the venues. And there was like hundreds and thousands of comments of people like, oh my God, it's people just bloody love it.
It's wild. Like, and for every situation or every occasion, there's like 10,000 Kath and Kim reinterpretations of this event. Yeah, there were so many photos of you in there when you did Kath on Drag Race.
Yeah, I had to turn notifications off of that group.
Of course.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, you crazy fans.
Oh, my God. Or just them, like, they put up, like, a status update and be, like, with a random quote and everyone's like, oh, yeah, me too. Oh, I'm really feeling it. I just love it. It's just so crazy.
I love them.
None of it is, like, malicious. You know, like, some fandoms, there's, like, purists and crazy people that are like, no. Everyone is just so supportive in this. Like, you'll see the worst costume from a costume party that you're like, you didn't even try. But everyone's like, yay! Oh, you look so good. Oh, yeah. You look like a foxy moron. And they're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's so loving. And also, I think everyone in there is so funny.
Yes.
I always ask people, similar to the Sex and the City fandom, where people sort of align themselves with someone, mm-hmm. Who do you most feel like you align with?
Oh, always Kath. Always.
Always.
Yeah,
really?
I was always Kath. I like, I just always. Like what I see. I like what I see.
You've always been Kath.
Yes.
Even as a little kid, you've identified with an old lady.
Well, of course. I've always been very, very mature for my age. But no, I was always a Kath. I loved her. You know?
You also do like teaming with a theme.
I love to team with a theme. Yeah. I love all of her hobbies and TAFE courses that she gets involved with. She's really good at speed reading. We have so much in common. So,
are you good at speed reading?
Not at all. But I like to pretend. I don't think she is either, to be honest. Shots of her at the table being like, just so stupid.
So silly.
Yeah, no, always Kath. I mean, also really love Sharon, but just more to laugh at than, you know, and I was never a Kim. Never a Kim. I could never be a Kim.
Why?
I don't know. She's just a bit too up herself, and I don't have that confidence. I don't have that self-confidence, that blind self-confidence that she has. I am proud of my looks, but, yeah, I can't be as blind as she is. That takes a whole other level.
I'm still deciding. I don't know. Who do you think? What do you think?
Cujo.
Oh, fuck off. It's a country road size 10. It's been a long couple of years inside in the pandemic. Rude.
You can't help me. You can't. That's too easy.
Absolutely rude.
Yeah, I think I might chuck it on and have a little bit of a giggle. Have a bit of a booty, Kim.
I think everyone should just go watch it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, how good was Gabby's musical sting?
Oh, it was the best musical sting I've ever heard. It's so good. Like, it's just been stuck in my head this entire time. Like,
the entire time.
How do you do that, Gabby? I just don't know.
I've been distracted by it.
The only thing is I don't know if it went to air, but I remember on the final episode of Drag Race when we have like our sit down with Michelle and Rue and they do some armchair psychiatry.
Oh, the tic-tac lunch.
Oh, it was actually a Jaffa lunch, but Rue was like, care for a Jaffa? And I was like, oh, okay.
Good try.
So funny. But at the end of my, I guess it like, Kath and Kim is so synonymous with me and they really enjoyed then got that from me. Because at the end of my like one-on-one with them, they're like, oh, before you go, we've been fighting this whole time, whether it's Fountain Lakes or Fountain Gate, or like they just had this full Kath and Kim convo with me. It was just so funny. I was like, this is just so far removed from reality. But
well, it really trips people up though.
Yeah. I mean, I forget sometimes. I can't remember because I'm from Melbourne. So because Fountain Gate is the real shopping centre.
You've got the suburb, but then you've got the shopping centre.
I mean, oh my God, fake fan, hashtag fake fan, fake fan. But this is the conversation I had with Rue, and then I was like, oh, I think it's this and this. And then Rue's like, yeah, told you, Michelle, told you.
I mean, what are they going to watch this time around?
I don't know, but there you go, everyone. RuPaul actually watches Kath and Kim. And
Of course he does.
If it's endorsed by Mother Rue, then you too should watch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Please hit follow if you want to be notified for future episodes, which obviously you do. And if you can be bothered taking time out of your very busy schedule, chuck us a review. 5 stars, please. I'm Randy Walden, and you'll be hearing from me next week. Hey, Roo.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.